Welcome to the June 16th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 21, and the sermon is entitled, The Great Gulf Fixed, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
As we gather around the Word of God today, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to look back at a time when I was a child, and many of you say, you don't have to look very far. It's getting further and further. I'm grateful of growing up on the farm. And I've always been around the farm. And at 9 years old, we moved up to a place with 25 acres. And as a child, the discovery of that land, we were able to discover grapevines. Can anybody relate to grapevines? Yeah, we remember those grapevines, and we discovered two of them. One was up on top of a hill, and you could swing out, and at the peak, you were probably 30 feet off the ground. And, you know, my parenting today, I'll be like, I don't know about that, you know. But we grabbed on and we ran and we just held on and went out and we came back. And then there was another one that we were able to figure out and find out. And we were able to ride that grapevine across a little spring, a creek, if you would. And we would take that and we would jump from side to side. So that one was fun because you could swing across and let off and jump. And then you had to jump back across and do it again. And you ask, why do I tell that story? Because life is filled with those valleys. And I want you to know today, as we come in this series of the greatest, today I want to introduce to you the greatest chasm, the greatest separation, the greatest valley that there ever is known to man. And it will be made known to you today if you have never heard about it before. It is that great gulf that is fixed. It is fixed between two places, and we must understand it and we must know it, because the only way to navigate that great gulf is the days in that you are alive. And that is today. And so as we think about the sermon of the greatest, we've looked at great men of faith, and we looked at great things in the Bible. And as we wind it down the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at how the Bible says that our God is great. But today, maybe the strongest warning out of this series is the chasm, the gulf that is fixed between the place that we know of heaven and the place that we know as hell. And today, you say, Pastor, why do you preach that sermon on Father's Day? Because I believe it is the greatest warning that we need to hear, not just our fathers, but every one of us needs to know about. And so today, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16, as we gather our thoughts and we gather around the good Word of God, and I want to lead us in a moment of prayer. Luke chapter number 16. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for an opportunity to turn to your Word now. God, I pray, Lord, that you will lead us. Lord, as we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit is the great teacher. And so, Lord, it's not a sermon by the pastor. It's not Jeffrey's sermon. Lord, I pray that the people hear the voice of God. And Lord, they hear the strong warning of your love for them and that you do not desire anyone to perish. Lord, there is a great gulf that is fixed today that you will teach us about. And God, I pray, Lord, today as we look at it, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will lead us to understand and to know where we are if today was our last day. Lord, we give this study to you. We give this sermon to you. We give our worship to you. And Lord, we pray that you lead us now as our great teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. I was looking online, and I told you about that little creek bed that we navigated with a vine. And we were able to navigate that creek bed. But I want to introduce you to another place. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon before? I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but as I looked at it, I had to look online. That Grand Canyon is 10 miles across in some places. And you're like, man, I could never get from one side to another. But there is a trail that you can take. It's 21 miles long that will get you from one side to another. You can also drive a road around it. You can navigate the Great Canyon, the Grand Canyon. What about the Mariana Trench? If you were to get in a submarine, not that I want to, and you were to go to the ocean, you could drive straight down 7 miles to get to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. There have been 6 submarines that have navigated, and they have been to the bottom of that. I don't want to go there. I'm not signing up for that one. Somebody else can do that. But the greatest gulfs that we know in physical, in our mind, the physical barriers, they have been navigated. And when we think about that today, it brings us to the thought and to the story of a rich man and a poor man. And so today, when we talk about the greatest separation, we look at normal people like you and me, and I'm not defining myself on the rich side or the poor side. I'm going to be honest. I'm blessed to live in the United States of America, where I am considered one of the richest in all of the world. That is a blessing. And so today, I'm not going to define us in that category, but today, if you are in the United States of America and you are living comfortably, you are among the richest of the world. And that's how the parable starts. Luke chapter number 16, look at verse number 19 with me today. We're going to look at 19 through 21 to begin. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. How many of you say that's disgusting? Yes, that's disgusting, right? Well, here's what I want you to know. As we talk about this sermon today and the great gulf fixed, I want to give you point number one today. Point number one is this: society separates. Society separates. When we think of separation in our society and culture, human beings do a great job of separating themselves out. And we are introduced to a time and a society where the rich and the poor, it was prevalent. And it was obvious on which side they stood. The rich man and the poor man. And the term that was used for the poor man is the term beggar. It is described to use him because that's exactly what he had to do in order to make ends meet. In this opening, I'm going to start by saying this. There is nothing wrong with having money. The moral of this story is this: it's what you do with it that counts. And so when we understand the rich man, he is not bad because he has money. He is bad because he didn't do the right thing with his money. And that is the difference. The rich man, we are told, had great clothes, and they are defined as purple in your Bible. And that means this: in order to get a purple garment in biblical days, you either had to know somebody or you had to be wealthy. Because the color of purple came through fishing, and they would catch a species, and they would extract that pigment, and they would make their colors. And so if you had purple clothing, you knew somebody, or either you really had money. So the rich man had clothing, and the poor man had nothing. The rich man had a house, and the poor man a gate. The Bible says the rich man ate sumptuously and the beggar just desired the crumbs that would fall from the table. The rich man was lavish and the beggar was licked by the dogs in the community. And I want to say something before I move on. Dogs in biblical days were not like our dogs. I've got a dog just like you got a dog. My dog, he lives and he gets up on my sofa and he sleeps on my lap. I love a dog. But I will tell you this, there's a difference between a dog and a human, okay? I will tell you that. But the dog in biblical days were an animal. They were wild. They were carnivores. They cleaned up whatever was left around. And so when this man was licked by the dogs, this dog was coming after him. And so we see the lavish and the licked. And here's what we don't know. Why did they end up where they are, where they're found here? How did they get here? That's a question I pose to God. God, how did they get here? What did one do right And what did one do? Hold on, don't say that word. Because you don't necessarily have to do wrong to end up a poor man. That was my thought process as I came to this parable. What happened? How did they get here? But what we're introduced is two people that couldn't be any further apart in the world standards, but they share the same address. The rich man lives in the house. The beggar lives at his gate. They're at the same address. And yet they are miles apart in the world standards. Lazarus and the rich man, they are there at the same address. And so what we do as human beings is often separate ourselves. And I'm going to be very pointed with you today. We separate ourselves by the color of our skin. There is no white church or black church or Hispanic church in heaven. But we do a great job separating ourselves. Here's what I want to tell you, church. You better get ready to worship with all kinds when you get to heaven, because that's what it's going to be like. But in society, if you are a different skin color, or you are a different political party, or you have a different hobby or a love, you're not wanted and you're not welcomed around here. And so, the rich man would go about his days doing whatever he did, and there was a man, a poor man at his gate that he had to navigate by every single day. I'm grateful for this parable because the majority of it speaks this. Three verses speak to life on this side. The other 10 verses speak to life on the other side. And here's what I want you to know. The majority of your life is not going to be lived down here. The majority of your life will be lived elsewhere. And what we do is we focus on the here and now, and what these 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years will give to us, and that's what we want to hold to. The first point today I want you to see is society separates. We have a rich man and a poor man. Look at verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The point number two today, as we think about that great goal fixed, is this: death is definite. Death is definite. Here is the reality of life. No matter how good or how bad life is, no matter how long or how short it is, unless the Lord comes back, you and I will meet the same ending to our physical life. We must die. Today, I hope that's not news to you. I hope that's not an eye-opening thing to you. And here's the reality, and even in my thought process, and even in my prayer life, is this. I want to choose in which way that I go. I want a hand, and I want to say so. And here's the reality. You don't even get that. You've got to trust the Lord even in those days. But thinking about death is definite, here's the reality. The rich man lived his life. The poor man lived his life. And they both met the same ending in verse number 22. They both met death. Now, when I think about the wrinkle cream and the surgeries and the lifestyle changes, all of those are good things. But here's the reality. None of it will make you live forever. Don't put your faith in a cream, ladies, okay? Now, I will say this. I think you need to be good stewards of the temple that God has given you. We need that. But here is the reality. Death is coming. When we think about that, the rich man, the Bible says in verse number 22, at the end of verse number 22, that he was buried. Do you see that? He had a funeral. The rich man had a funeral. And I don't know what the pastor had to say of that day, but I want you to know, funerals are sometimes hard to preach. But somebody had to get up at his funeral service and say something. And here's what they probably said: he was a good man. He spent his time as a hard worker. He accomplished a lot and he accumulated a lot. And for the rich man, and as a pastor, you've got to stop there. But look at verse number 22 about the poor man real quick. Verse number 22 says this: and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Do you see anything about a funeral there? He was not even buried, was he? Now, I wasn't there. I don't know for sure. But here is a great opportunity to tell you this. The poor people in Jesus' day, you know where they were buried at? The dump. And I want you to know that's harsh. But this man, with all of his sores and all that he did not have, was probably carried to the outskirts of town, and he was thrown into the trash heap to be burned with the rest of the trash. That was his burial. There was nobody to say any good word or any good thing because he didn't even have a service. But there's one thing in verse number 22, it tells us that he was carried where? Unto Abraham's bosom. He was ushered into heaven, into the presence of the Lord. And so we learn that these two things: as death is definite, number one, here is the reality, the body will return to the dust. It's going back from which it was made. It is going into the ground. And the second thing is this: a funeral service or a pastor preaching a funeral service cannot save you. I know that's hard words. And here is the reality that you need to see from this story. The people that look good on the outside and look like they're doing good and look okay may not meet the destination that you think they will. As we think of death being definite, here's what I often keep in mind at a funeral. The funeral is to honor those who have passed away, but a funeral is for those who are left behind. A funeral is for the living. As we think about how quickly death comes, it is to remind us that it is our end as well. Maybe today, when we think of what the preacher said at the rich man's funeral or the poor man's funeral, for me personally, that's what God has laid on my heart. Not only as I do funerals, but as I live life. What do you want somebody to say at your funeral? Here's the most important thing: not that you have or you did, it's that you knew Jesus. The preacher needs to know that. And your family does too. Because death is coming. Look at verses 23 through 25. So I'm going to go back to the end of verse number 22, which says, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Point number three today that I want to give you is this: roles can be reversed. Roles can be reversed. When we think about role reversal, what it looks like on the outside is not a picture of what is going on in the inside. And when we think of that, I want you to see today, as from verse number 22, the rich man, we find him in his eternal destination, in which we say hell. Hades. It is that place that the Bible says is a separation from God. And here's what I want you to know. Even though this is a parable, heaven and hell are real places. And from this place, the rich man, he can see Abraham a ways off in the distance. And in his bosom, of all people to be in the bosom of Abraham in heaven, of all people to be there, it is a face that he knows very well. It is a face and a person that he walked by every day. It is a face that he remembers the dog licking his sores. It is Lazarus. And here's what that rich man says. Help. You've got to help me. You and I can learn from this story is this. The first thing is this. Immediately after death, you have a destination. And I'm not here to tell you where yours is. But immediately after death, there is a destination. There is no holding cell, according to verse number 23. One destination offers a place that to be tormented, and the other offers a place to be escorted into the presence of God. And if I were to ask church people today, where do you want to go? 99% of you would say, I want to go to heaven. And I do too. But I want you to know this. The first thing that you see is that there's a destination. The second thing that we see here is the rich man calling Abraham father. Do not miss that. Here's what that tells me. The rich man knew something about religion. He knew who Abraham was, and yet he did not know him fully. And in understanding that, this is not a story, and don't get me wrong, this is not a story if you're rich, you're going to hell. That is not this story. And if you're poor, you're going to heaven. Absolutely not. This is a story about a rich man finding himself in a destination that is very different than he expected. By identifying Abraham as father, that tells me this, that he was somewhat religious because he knew who he was. And for you and I today, it is a difference in knowing Jesus here and knowing Jesus here. It will take you to a different destination. And so today, when we understand that, we need to understand this. It does not matter who you are. And here is the reality. Religious people will be in hell. People that sit in church pews will be there. That tie to the church and that done good things, they will be there. But I want you to know this. If Jesus is not your Lord, you know your destination. I don't have to tell you. And if Jesus is your Lord, you know your destination. The third thing I want you to see is this. As you see in verse number 24, it says, the rich man, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Those words are important to me because that's exactly all that Lazarus wanted from the rich man. Just have a little mercy. Can I get the crumbs from your table? Can I get your leftovers? How many of you, don't you dare raise your hand, how many of us go to bed or after we've eaten, we go with plenty of leftovers? And we eat on them the next day and the next day and the next day. And if we're honest, some of them make it to the trash can. And that's the mercy the poor man wanted. He just wanted the crumbs. And now the roles are reversed. As the rich man just says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. This rich man is begging for mercy. And he just wants a little water to cool the tongue and a little relief there. And we understand that hell offers no relief, only torment. As we see these roles being reversed, on earth the rich man had the good things, but not God. And the beggar had God and nothing else. Which would you rather be? Which would you rather be? Would we rather have all the world has to offer and leave God out of the picture, or just say, God is my everything, and if I have to beg and claw and plead, when I get there, I know my reward. It will be to see Jesus. As the roles are reversed, now the rich man is tormented and Lazarus is comforted by Abraham. Don't you dare put your trust in yourselves or your possessions or your work. Here is my plea today for everyone. Put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust there. As this section of Scripture winds down and we see these roles being reversed, there's a lot of depth that we could go into, but here's what I want you to understand. Hell offers torment, and that's what you need to know. It offers separation from God. Don't get this idea that you can see heaven from hell. Don't get that from this parable. But here's what I want you to understand. It is known that once you are there, you know you are there, and you desire to be elsewhere. You desire relief. Look at verse number 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now here, you got to go back to verse number 24, as the rich man is crying to have mercy and send Lazarus. And here's what Abraham says: we can't do that. Why can't we do that? Why can't you send Lazarus to me? Why can't you send relief? And here's what Abraham says: there's this great chasm, there's this great gulf that is fixed in between the place of hell and in between the place of heaven that cannot be navigated once you die. It is the greatest separation, in my argument, in all of the world. In Abraham's response, I can't send him even if I wanted to. There is no way over or no way around or no way under this chasm. You cannot navigate it after death. I can't send Lazarus to you and you can't come to us. I know that's a horrible picture, but that's reality. I believe for those that are in hell, they will have some kind of knowledge that they desire something else, different, better, relief. But here's what I want you to understand. There are some religions that teach and that believe that after someone dies, after a loved one dies, that you can go and you can make indulgences and offer them on behalf of your loved ones, whether that's money or prayer or visiting holy places. And the more you offer, you can get your loved ones out of that place of hell or that place of purgatory and get them into heaven. That is hogwash. I'm sorry to use that word, but I strongly disagree with that. That is very misleading and very manipulative, that people are paying money thinking their loved ones can navigate this great gulf. And the Bible says this: it cannot be navigated. That great gulf between heaven and hell is final. Once you close your eyes in death, that destination is sealed. Because there is no way. Now I want you to know the first three verses took place on earth. And this is a glimpse that we are given and to life and the afterlife, maybe one of the most vivid in all of the Bible. So as Abraham says, we cannot navigate that great gulf. Here's what Lazarus offers as another option in verse number 27. He says this, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into him from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The final point today is this, is the call of concern. The cry from the rich man was this, if I can't have mercy for myself, if I can't have relief for myself, Abraham, send somebody to my family so that they won't end up where I am. What a plea. Five brothers. Abraham, you've got to do something. You've got to send Lazarus. You've got to go tell my brothers of this awful place. You've got to send a man that has risen from the dead that understands it, and they will believe you. And here is Abraham's response. If they can't believe the word of God and the truth of God, they're not going to believe a dead man walking. The truth of this great gulf is this. We have to navigate it individually. But there is a clear concern that we must have and we must desire as Christians that others navigate it as well. And the only way that you navigate this great gulf is while there is breath in this body, you give your life and you give your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is the bridge from heaven to hell. Or let me say that backwards. He is the bridge from hell to heaven. And you must navigate that individually. But you also must have the desire that others know and understand Jesus Christ as Savior as well. When I wind this parable down today, maybe we look at a rich man and a poor man and a poor man by the beggar's gate. Maybe we look at a poor man and rich man in heaven and the rich man is begging in the afterlife in hell. I don't want you to leave here today saying, which one am I? I don't want you to compare yourself to the rich or the poor. I want you to think about your destination. I want you to think about the great chasm. I want you to think about the great gulf that sin has fixed in between the place of God and the place that separates those who do not know God. Think about that great chasm. And here is the question. Have you navigated it today? If you say yes, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. It's not okay. I'm done. I'm waiting on heaven. That's not the answer as we leave today. Do you have family? Do you have friends? Do you have children? Do you have grandchildren? Do you have neighbors? Do you have strangers that you care about? The idea is this. Send the word to them about the great chasm that they must navigate. We think about the rich man. He says, send proof. Send proof. Abraham says, no. He said, just warn my five brothers about hell. Abraham says, no, I'm not doing that either. Save my brothers. Abraham says, I can't do that. How many of you know that we can't save anybody? It's got to be the Lord Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we can't tell them about Jesus because we love them. As I close this book today, I close it knowing this. Society is going to define in so many ways. Whether it's rich or poor, whether it's believer or non-believer, whether it's crazy or not, some people are going to look at Pastor Jeffrey and say, that guy's crazy for believing that stuff. Society defines. Don't fall into the role of society. Maybe today that you are sitting here and you realize, hey, death is coming my way. And I don't know what the youngest person sitting in the sanctuary is today, but none of us are promised tomorrow. I've got two teenagers that I hope they outlive me. I want them to do better than I've done. I want them to outlive me, and I want them to do great things for the Lord. But here's the reality. I've given those two boys to God, and I've got to trust God with the number of their days. We're not promised tomorrow. Death is definite. But the truth of God's word is this. As the Holy Spirit leads and the Holy Spirit directs, the clear call of verse number 30 is this, is the word repent. You've got to turn to the Lord and repent of sin. And through that, Jesus becomes your Savior as you have faith in Him. And then that is the only way that great gulf is navigated. Today, if you are here and you have never navigated that gulf, you and God do business right now. That is the invitation. You don't come down here. You don't have to come and pray with me. You don't have to come kneel at an altar. You don't have to throw money in order to be saved. Here's what you need to do. You need to hit your knees and say, God, I'm just a sinner. And I understand that sin separates me from you. No, God, I desire you to be my Savior. I desire you to lead me in the days ahead. And I understand that your death on the cross was my payment for sin, and I will live for all eternity for you. Will you be my Savior today? Christian brother or sister, maybe this is a challenge for each one of us as we think about our role as believers in our great community. It's wonderful to sit here and worship together, but in just a few minutes, we leave to serve and to witness and to tell others that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Pray together. Father God, Lord, as we open up a moment of invitation, God, thank you for some hard words. Lord, as we think about the brevity of life, Lord, it is often in the Bible equated to a vapor or grass or a flower. It goes quickly. It grows, it comes, and then it's gone. Lord, maybe today you open somebody's eyes or somebody's heart to the reality that death is imminent unless Jesus returns. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would work now in the lives and the hearts of the people in this room. Lord, if somebody needs you as Savior, God, I pray that you do your work and draw them. Lord, if there is a believer in this room, Lord, may you teach us to have eyes for our neighbor, for those that need, not necessarily need the physical, but we can meet those needs, but more importantly, those that need the spiritual things of life. Those who need Jesus. God, in this moment of invitation, maybe there's somebody that's connected to our family, to our circle of friends, that we just want to put before the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that we use this time of invitation, knowing the seriousness of the great gulf that needs to be navigated while there is breath in our lungs. God, thank you that Jesus Christ is that way to navigate. Lead us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.